Thanks, Helen. I'd love to hear about your impressions of the Africa trip. So can you sort of take us through the highlights? I was lucky enough to go there on a field just prior to the 2010 World Cup in Cape Town. I know I've got wonderful memories, not to mention a terrific selection of photos on the wall around my office.
We boarded the Qantas flight to Johannesburg, or Jozi as the locals call it. It was all part of a South African tourism event called the Mega Lekka. And it was pretty Mecca. There was a lot of different groups, I'm not even sure, 9 or 10. And we all went to different parts of South Africa with different wholesalers. I was on a trip with Adventure World. And the other groups went all over other parts of South Africa with other wholesalers and suppliers. So we landed in Joburg, Jozi, and spent a night there at a hotel right at the airport. It's called City Lodge, actually, and if you need a place to overnight, it's right across the bridge. It's like mere steps from the airport. So super easy and very convenient.
The next day,
off we head on our first leg of our Mega Lekka trip. So we went on a drive from Joburg right up to Durban. Or maybe we flew. See, I can't even remember. Yeah, we flew.
Okay.
We flew to Durban with Airlink, a great airline. And you know what was a highlight? You're going to laugh. Mm. We got on the flight. The snack was a original glazed Krispy Kreme donut.
You're kidding.
Everyone was like, oh, my God, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something so small but gave such joy to everybody on board. And the other option didn't see the light of day. Everyone wanted the Krispy Kreme.
Okay.
I just broke my diet just for a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, arrive in Durban and then we drove a little bit north to Umlanga Rocks, which is a really good area and a great option to stay if you want to be around that Durban region in KwaZulu-Natal, which is an up-and-coming region. We stayed at this iconic property, and I know iconic is used, but in this case, the Oyster Box Hotel is legendary. It has a red and white lighthouse right out the front. It's got a lot of history. It's owned by the Tolman family, from Travel Corp fame,
the Travel Corporation.
So Beatrice Tolman fell in love with it. I think she might have gone there and she might have even been proposed to there. By the way, it was something that she visited. And so she said, I love this hotel. Eventually they ended up buying it. It's just such a wonderful property. There's so much beautiful art around there. You walk out onto this veranda and you're overlooking the lighthouse and the coast. There's a beautiful walk up and down the beach. It's just stunning. And everybody who's anybody goes to this place, the Oyster Box, including the Zulu King was staying there.
Oh.
While we were there.
Okay.
His car was pride of place right out near the front door. We actually didn't set eyes on him, but we saw some of his security team. And there was a lot of security, you know, personal guards hanging around the front foyer for various leaders. And it was interesting hearing. There's a wall of fame there, honestly. Anyone who's anybody has been there. The wall of fame, you walk up and down, it's like, oh, my gosh, everybody has stayed at this place. The rooms were incredible. One of the great things that Travel Corporation do is that pack for a purpose. So it means that you take items with you to give to local communities in the area.
Yeah.
So the Oyster Box support this community called LIV, the LIV community. It's a poorer community outside of Durban. And so they take a lot of stuff that guests give, right? And they also provide a lot of money and back the kids at school. They provide them with meals, et cetera, et cetera. So we all took, I was with eight travel agents. It was all travel advisors and then one journalist. So that was a different experience as well.
Sure.
So I traveled with amazing and such beautiful travel advisors from around Australia. So that was just so good to meet them all.
You learn a lot talking to them, don't you? Quiet moment.
Well, it was a good plan for this Mega Lekka, because the thing was, it had to be people who hadn't been to South Africa before. in the travel advisors. So for them, it was a first time, and a first time for safari and all that. So it was fantastic. But everybody got with the program, and there was a whole, you should see the stack of gear everybody took, you know, pencils, books, kiddie backpacks, bathroom things, all kinds of stuff. We did get quite a big pile, and they're going to take that out to the community, and we're going to get photos on the community receiving all our stuff. But they've got a whole lot of things that guests can take. So it's you're giving back, but before we even really started, you're giving back. So I really like that they pack for a purpose, that the Travel Corporation do. Adventure World are real, they really push it. So yep. I think that's fantastic. So Oyster Box, we had an amazing meal there. We ate bunny chow. Have you eaten bunny chow?
I don't think so. Is it rabbit?
It's not rabbit. Oh. It's a famous dish from that area, because Durban is a huge port, right? It always has been a huge port. And back in the day when the British had it, they brought in a lot of Indian workers for the crops around the area, and they brought a lot of their culture. So this bunny chow kind of, it became a famous dish. It's, you take a loaf of bread and you cut it in half, and then you sort of take some of the bread out and you fill it with curry.
Okay.
But they don't use coconut milk in any of their curries.
So they're just plain old hot, are they?
It was actually really, really beautiful. So everybody had bunny chow. Mm. And must say, I had butter chicken bunny chow.
Okay, that sounds good.
It was extremely tasty. And
you eat the bread too?
You get the bread out of the other half, and you sop up the curry with the bread.
So sounds fabulous.
That was amazing.
Comfort
and
food.
So, comfort food, really, really tasty. So from the Oyster Box, we drove up to a place called Tonga Beach Lodge. Now,
an interview from there, didn't you?
I did with Matthew Stain.
Yeah.
And it's... The lodge is only 60 k's from the Mozambique border. It's on this incredible coast, but it was quite the trip to get there. So we drove, I think it was four to 5 hours, which was incredible, just driving through. I love driving through countries like that and just seeing all the locals going about their business, you know, little shops on the side of the road, women selling pineapples and cutting them up for you, and you just pay like nothing and get super fresh pineapple. So when we got to a diving town, we then had a 90-minute four-wheel drive trip on a bumpy road to get to this Tonga Beach Lodge. It sounds sort of like a bit of a pain, but it's not, because it's just a really great drive. And when you get there, you really feel like you're away from it all. So the lodge itself, very small. I think there are 12 villas or rooms, whatever you would like.
They look terrific too from the air. There's a couple of drone shots there.
Yes, thick jungle. You look out from your veranda and it's just beautiful green, looking over the blue of the ocean. And you can hear the waves. So you can sleep with your doors open and you can hear, in my case, frogs, surf. And we did get a bit of rain, so you can hear the rain as well. But, I love being all cozy in bed.
Absolutely.
I had the mozzie net there, so you could just... And then you just feel so snug.
How far down to the beach? Is it like 50 metres?
No, it's like right there. You just go down the stairs and there's the beach.
Oh, okay, right.
And it's also another property that likes giving back. So there are these blue bags at the... sort of like the adventure zone where you go to get your boogie boards or your volleyballs or whatever, snorkels. And you get these blue bags, and they encourage guests to go down to the beach and just pick up the plastic that's washed up overnight from the sea, which is a terrible thing that we have to deal with.
Sure.
But, you know, that's a reality. So while the rest of the lodge is pristine and the jungle, the waves continually bring plastic in. So... everyone goes and does that, and you get a free cocktail for your efforts. So
that's good.
Everyone was fairly on board with that.
Well, there's a continent of plastic out there, you know.
Absolutely. It's terrible.
Incredible.
But this is a good way of getting people involved and with a little reward at the end. And there's a lot of ocean activities there.
Like Indian Ocean, yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
You get in, the ocean experiences is like a big rib, one of those heavy-duty extreme ribs.
Yeah.
And you get on at the beach and then you go out through the surf. There's a lot of dolphins. There's three different types of dolphins in the area. Let me see if I can remember them. There's bottlenose, humphead, and spinner dolphins.
Oh, they're beautiful.
That you can go. And if depending on whether you see the dolphins and whether they're calm or they look relaxed, then you can get in and swim with them. And then you get out and you snorkel around one of their reefs. There's a lot of reefs around the area. It's a very rich area. There's just a lot of marine life. And then, of course, you've got the forest. And we had a funny, funny experience, Graham. I want you to imagine there was 10 women in the truck with the driver, and it's an open safari vehicle. So we were bumping in to go to somewhere, and this massive spider was on a web in the road, and because there's no windscreen, it swung into the vehicle.
Oh.
You've never heard such a
screaming
fest in your life. I was in the back row, so I was fine. I did not scream, but honestly, it's like, and then our guide, Sam from Adventure World, she was like hysterically laughing.
Right.
It was just the funny. This spider was massive. It was the biggest spider I think I've ever seen. And some of the girls were a bit scared of spiders.
Well, I bet.
But then we found out afterwards that they're just the golden orb, but they're kind of bigger than the golden orbs we get here.
Okay.
It was huge. And it was so funny. The driver had this dustpan and brush, and he's trying to brush it out of the car. It was just, it was very, very funny.
I
had to be there, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
you did. I don't think anybody would like to have this massive black, colourful, it had orange legs and things coming towards your face in the car.
No.
But they're harmless, of course. So anyway, don't be put off. It was just funny. And apart from the ocean experience, and you've got, there's a beautiful rock platform that you can go snorkeling on, and that was fantastic. And then it's famous for its turtles. We just missed the turtle laying, the egg laying, where the big leatherbacks and loggerheads and green turtles, they come and they lay their eggs on the beach, as they've been doing for hundreds of years. And we were just there for the hatchling phase.
Oh, that's
so
a great time to be there.
You go out late at night, and you, because there's just miles and miles and miles and miles of beach, so you get on the safari truck on the beach and you just drive, and the driver is, he's got like a spotlight, and he looks for little footprints and things like that. So we went out and we struck out on the hatchling find, but it was a great experience being on the beach, and the stars were amazing, and just having the surf coming in. It was a great experience anyway. And we heard all about the turtles and how the hatchlings, you know, they don't have a very good chance of survival.
No, they don't.
It's very low, but if we had seen them, it would have been fantastic. But, you know, nature doesn't always, you know, play the game.
It sounds like this beach is pretty remote and hardly anyone would go to it anyway, yeah?
Well, it's just such a great spot. It's the staff there. This is my favourite thing about this lodge. They have a community nearby, Mabibi. It's a little town called Mabibi.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 56 staff, and only four of them do not come from this village.
Oh, wow.
And they're all trained from scratch. When they're looking for new staff, they go to the village first. The village also invests in the lodge. So both have a very good reason they want to want to succeed.
Sure.
And the staff are just beautiful. The happy people, so lovely. Couldn't do more for you if you tried. And, you know, a lot of them have now trained as divers, animal guides, and they've come from not knowing anything about hospitality or that kind of thing. So, and then, of course, chefs. And the good thing is that when you go to this lodge, you are supporting that town, and not just the staff who work there, but also their families.
Right.
So you know, hundreds of people depend on the lodge for their, you know, for their well-being. We went and did a community tour in the safari truck, and it was just fascinating. We've seen the, you know, the little shops and the medical center. We did go to the school, and a lot of work goes into supporting the kids at school, like food, giving them hot food, all the stuff they need. And guests, a lot of guests are so moved. One of them, apparently, not our group, but a gentleman who stayed at the lodge was so taken with the lodge and the community and the people that he actually provided, I think it was 200 bikes. Because when the kids go to high school from this little town, it's a two-hour walk to and from to get to high school.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
No.
And it's on these little sand, you know, picture the little sandy beach roads we have in Australia.
Yeah.
They're, you know, little barely bumpy sand dune tracks. And those kids walk 2 hours on either way. And I can't even imagine what that would have been like.
No.
You know, maybe one day it'd be all right. But anyway, so this guy bought 200 bikes so the kids could ride to and from high school.
Mm.
So, yeah, we're talking remote, but with that remoteness comes that feeling that you are really immersed in nature.
Yep.
So Tonga Beach was a big plus. And from there, we went on a different type of safari. We drove up to Sungulwani, which is a very small, intimate lodge, privately owned in the Zuka Private Game Reserve. And again, as you said, only eight rooms, and the suites themselves are so beautiful.
They look fantastic, I must say.
It was just beautiful, and they had the huge bathroom, and so you got a big shower area. You could fit a football team in there, and then if you want, you can go out and have an outdoor shower, and there's nothing better than an outdoor shower.
Sure.
Especially when you're looking out over the trees and you can hear nature, because it's an unfenced lodge. So when you go back to your room at night, you are escorted. You can get a someone will drive you up in the golf buggy, and in the day you can just walk to and from your room. Adventure World have amazing itineraries, so check out their website, adventureworld.com. I think that's the website.
Fantastic.
Google it anyway.
Helen, that was a fabulous and fulsome report.
Well, that's Travel Writers Radio for this week. A reminder that if you missed our regular broadcast from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesdays, our show is repeated Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. here on J-Air 88 FM in Melbourne. Also live on the net at j-air.com.au. Our stories are readily available on our website, travelwritersradio.com, on Google Podcasts and on Spotify.
Travel Writers Radio is a production of Pallet, the professional association of lifestyle and travel writers. So until next week, it's good night from me, Graham Kemlow.
And good night from me, Helen Hayes. Thank you so much for listening.
Free as the wind, free as the clouds, free as a song when you sing it out loud. There ain't no stopping or slowing down. Yeah, let's be wild and free. We are the wild, we are the free, and I find